Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The recipients of the City of Kingston's 2026 Rural Community Program Fund were announced last week at a special ceremony at the Glen Burnie Fire Hall. Rural Kingston, which includes the area outside of the defined urban center, is home to approximately 12,000 individuals, or 9% of the total population. The fund invests in events and programming that foster community belonging, celebrate rural life and culture, and create opportunities for residents and visitors to experience rural Kingston. The community celebration on July 17th shone a spotlight on this year's recipients as chosen by city staff and the Rural Economic and Community Development Working Group. CFRC was on hand for the event, which was emceed by Craig Desjardins, Director, Office of Strategy, Innovation, and Partnerships at the City of Kingston.
Today is about recognizing the people and organizations who are helping strengthen rural Kingston through practical, creative, and community-minded projects. The Rural Kingston Fund, funded by the Samsung Solar Project, was created to support local projects that reflect the character, priorities, opportunities of rural Kingston. These projects that improve community spaces, bring people together, support rural recreation and culture, celebrate agricultural heritage, and create reasons for residents and visitors to connect in rural places.
Mayor Patterson and Councillor Oosterhoff spoke to the importance of recognizing the distinct nature of rural Kingston, as well as what the area has to offer.
Good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure to see you all, and really to celebrate rural Kingston. That's really what this is about. And, Councillor Oosterhoff and I have had many great discussions over the years about how rural Kingston is different from the urban Kingston. And it's important. It's important to recognize the great community that we have here. And I think that the Rural Community Fund is a great way to support amazing, as we said, diverse projects to really celebrate what life in rural Kingston is. And so, I know that sometimes rural Kingston can feel forgotten, feel left out, feel that sometimes that we're very focused on the urban core of the city. And I recognize that as mayor. And so that's why I wanted to come and just to talk up rural Kingston, that Kingston wouldn't be Kingston without our rural area. But of course, that comes down to our community members, our partners, our organizations that are doing such great work here. So congratulations. Obviously, as a city, we're very proud to support the work that you're doing, and I look forward to more great things ahead of rural Kingston.
This is really, really important because it's about seed money too, seed investment. Through this fund, local organizations, as we heard, are supported in delivering initiatives that foster community. And that is the key for me and for this committee, and I think for council that supports this, is building our community and our rural residents. With the second year in funding, we are proud of the impact it's already had in our community. Last year's funding supported a variety of initiatives and brought people together, strengthening community connections, enhancing local assets. We want to build on this success for future years.
This year's funded projects included a repeat recipient, Sounds of the Pines Concert Series, and four new projects, including Pearson Park Rink redevelopment, a well for a community garden, a five-stand recreational shooting sport experience, and funds for reusable programming equipment.
This year's funded projects demonstrate the breadth of rural Kingston, from food security, music and culture, youth agricultural learning, recreational tourism, and winter community infrastructure.
Three of the recipients were on hand to speak to their projects, starting with Pete Scott, representing the Scott Ecological Fund.
Scott Ecological Fund is a private foundation, registered charity, with a mission to advance education in the realm of food security, educating the public, with an emphasis on youth. We've developed a community garden on Battersea Road to make land available to those who don't have land because they're in apartments or whatever. Of the 28 big plots, 3 meters by 5 meters, 15 are being used by community garden participants, and 7 are being used to produce food for St. Vincent de Paul, along with several other smaller plots. It's part of the City of Community Garden Network, but it's the only one that's not on public land. Well, we try to utilize rainwater collection on site. The recent summer drought period seemed to be getting longer and more frequent. So having a well on site will ensure that there's still a water source there for the community garden. If you know of anyone looking for land, there's some vacant lots available. We're a little late now, but get in line for next season.
Mike Mandel spoke on behalf of Sandhill Presbyterian Church.
Rural community churches struggle, as you all know. Attendance decline. Well, this is going to be our second annual this year, so we're very, very pleased. We had a great response last year. We had Kelly Trache in playing the violin at our church, and it was pretty well packed. And then we had John McClurg, a local fellow, and he played also, and it was pretty well packed too. So we were very pleased with that. So we're quite excited about this year.
Two members of the Kingston and District Trap, Skeet and Sporting Clays Club, Louie and Sandy, spoke to the impact of their funded project.
We have about 140 members, but I'd like to say we're public, we're open. If someone wants to come try it out, sure, sign up. We'll pair you with someone with experience. We can provide the shotgun shell. We are open. We're a very friendly club. So we're trying to promote the industry for more shooters in the future. It's a fun sport. The club is all volunteer driven. So if you're part of a group and you want to just try something different, I mean, yes, you can throw axes at a board, but for us, you know, come try the shooting part. But we want to do a five stand, and I'll let Sandy get into that part.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sandy McCaldon. Growing up, I had more broken shotguns in the gun safe than I'd had broken hockey sticks in the garage. So being able to find a place that is CFO certified and approved to shoot is important, and to be able to practice and just keep up on the sport is like finding a good golf course. To five stand, what we're looking for here is to offer another game. It's equipment heavy in one little area. The club's managed to put together multiple machines to give different presentations. We're not shooting paper, we're shooting clay targets. It goes bouncing around or it goes flying through the air and people try to shoot it, and we've made a sport out of it. People that are into hunting use it to practice, and some people just shoot to shoot. It's their golf game. So we're looking to buy a new rabbit machine. It's a type of clay thrower, and along that we will be updating the equipment to be more technologically up to date, so that we have RF remotes to do it rather than stringing extension cords everywhere. That'll just provide a little bit more difference for what we can offer here.
Craig Desjardins spoke on behalf of recipients that were not in attendance, including the Thousand Islands 4-H Sheep Club and the Joyceville Rink Redevelopment Committee.
And it's a new program. It's equipment for youth participants. This project will help purchase durable equipment for youth participants, including barn boots, show clothing, grooming kits, portable shade canopy, and a portable sheep pens. The intention is to connect young people, urban and rural, with agriculture, animal care, responsible food system, rural heritage. And this is just an incredible program. Anything that connects and educates our community about the incredible heritage and complexity and importance of agriculture is a wonderful project. So we certainly congratulate them on this great project. And last but not least, the Pearson Park redevelopment. Some of you may be aware that the park had came a little run down in years. A group of volunteers stepped forward and have done an incredible job of revitalizing that. We're very pleased to announce that we're providing funding of up to $5,000 to assist with the many of sort of health and safety related, some improvements to doors, to access, padding around the rink. And again, just an incredible story of volunteers stepping forward and making a difference.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part three of your OUA football season preview, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Today we're looking at the ninth place team from 2025, the Waterloo Warriors. A team touched by tragedy, the Waterloo Warriors showed a great deal of will and skill in 2025. A scrappy unit with some outstanding athletes in all three phases, the Warriors showed flashes of brilliance last year in narrow losses to Ottawa and Carleton. They upended the Varsity Blues on a last-second field goal to tally their first win of the season, before turning in a respectable effort in the Battle of Waterloo against Laurier. They faced Queens in their homecoming game, and that's when everything changed for the program. Late in the second quarter, starting quarterback Nick Orr was knocked out of the game by a hit from Justin Pace. This hit, which resulted in a lengthy suspension for Pace, had immense consequences for Orr, who may never play football again. The Warriors would rally around their injured quarterback and score one final win against the York Lions to finish 2-6 on the year. Honestly, pretty remarkable given the circumstances.
Let's take a look at their 2025 stats. They did finish 11th in the conference in points for with 137. That's about 17 points per game. They were 10th in yards per game with 359 and finished with 2,720 yards, also 10th in the conference. They were 8th in total pass yards with 1,901, and they were 6th in total rush yards with 969, about 121 per game. Not too bad. Now defensively, they did finish 9th in points allowed with 283, but this is a defense that is better than the stats would indicate. They were actually 4th in passing yards allowed per game with 263, and 9th in rush yards allowed per game with 168.8. They finished 6th, so right in the middle, in total yards allowed per game, but once again, I think this defense is better than the numbers indicate. In terms of point differential, they were last in the conference with a minus 146. Largely because their offense, which once again dealt with some pretty major injuries, just couldn't string together consistent scoring drives, but I don't think that's indicative of where this team actually was. Over the last five seasons, in 2021 they had a 3-3 record, the final year of quarterback Trey Ford. In 2022, 1-7. 2023, bounce back year, finishing 3-5. 2024, 0-8, although I will say they were one of the better 0-8 teams I ever watched. And in 2025, they finished 2-6. So, a lot of up, a lot of down, but I do think the program is trending in the right direction. Looking ahead to 2026, well, there are a lot of departures for the Warriors. Running back Quinton Springer, who I thought was one of the better players on offense, period, for them, has transferred to their crosstown rivals at Laurier. Wide receiver Romel Samuel Slocum is gone. Running back Anthony Miller, a long-standing Warrior, is gone. Backup quarterback Nolan Caban is done. Nick Orr, as we touched on, is likely out for the season. Thankfully, Waterloo does have a new generation ready to step up on offense, including quarterback Emmett Ward, and running back Roy Vanderveen, who was an unquestioned bright spot for the Warriors last season. They also have the outstanding linebacker Michael Omoseni back, and I love watching Omoseni play. He is so fast, so instinctive, just a fantastic defensive player. The Warriors do have a tough 2026 schedule ahead of them. They play the Ottawa teams back-to-back before traveling to Kingston for what will surely be an emotionally charged rematch with the Gales. That's Queen's home opener. The Warriors have tough games against Laurier in the Battle of Waterloo, Windsor, and Guelph before closing things out with McMaster and York. And I do think Waterloo could beat McMaster, but I am going to give the Marauders the benefit of the doubt this year. I've got Waterloo going 1-7, but finishing in 9th ahead of York and Toronto. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, July 22nd, 21 is your high with a 30% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 14 overnight. Thursday, July 23rd, 24 degrees is your high with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 15 overnight. Friday, July 24th, 25 is your high, so slightly warmer, with a mix of sun and cloud in the forecast, dropping down to 15 overnight. And then kicking off the weekend, Saturday, July 25th, high of 25, and you guessed it, a mix of sun and cloud. Sunday, July 26th, looking like a beautiful end to the weekend here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 25 with a mix of sun and cloud, but more sun moving into the afternoon. Monday, July 27th, we do have rain in the forecast, 50% chance of rain, going to be humid and cloudy, 27 is your high. And then Tuesday, July 28th, we've got a high of 29 degrees with heavier rain and a higher percentage sitting around 65% here in the city of Kingston. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Baggett Street from Barrie to West Street is closed for the Eastern Canadian Little League Championship. Bath Road from Sir John A to Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive started on June 15th. Norman Rogers Drive is closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. Reminder that the City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street to Queen Street is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is still closed to accommodate construction activity and staging.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly activities, there is plenty happening in Kingston this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday offers plenty to do, beginning with silent reading on Sydenham Street before games in the square and the Swinging Summer Concert Series takeover downtown in the evening. This week also features a free Movies in the Square screening of But I'm a Cheerleader. Music fans can watch Taryn McKenna and Vince DeBeal at the Belvedere Hotel, Sean McCullen at the Cove Inn, Fiverr at Many Moons Events, and Luella as part of the Soundwaves concert series at Spicer's Dockside Grill, and of course, an open mic at Time Out Bar. Thursday features the Kingston Public Market, a community picnic at Cultivate Arts Commons, a Princess Monaco film screening at Robert Sutherland Hall, and the Story Stitched in Fabric workshop at the Tet Center. Another Movies in Square screening following the School of Rock. Live music includes Rob Moore at the Cove Inn, Pete's Wolf Island Records musical review at Hotel Wolf Island, Sam Coons and Ryan Gallagly at the RCHA Club, Battle of the Bands, Punk vs. Metal at Daft Brewing, Spaced, Terminator and Anchor Lines at the Broom Factory, and the National Youth Orchestra of Canada at the Isabel Bader Center. Friday is packed with entertainment. The off-season dance festival gets underway at Hotel Wolf Island, while Kicking It Country returns to the City Hall Amphitheater. Music highlights include River City Junction at the Cove Inn, the Celtic Kitchen Party as part of the Waterfront Concert Series, Tyler Brett Forks at Mayor's Creek Brewing Company, Marion Dexler Band at the RCHA Club, Mellow Lily at the Turninog, and the Astros at the Toucan. Heading into Saturday, you can browse the Kingston Public Market, catch Chef Dimanche at City Hall Amphitheater, enjoy Saturday sessions in Confederation Park, or take part in Vibrant Voices, a song circle for the 2SLGBTQIA+ at the Central Library. The off-season dance festival continues on Wolf Island. Live music includes Matt Dixon at the Cove Inn, Andrew McFan at Spicer's Dockside, Outskirts as part of the Waterfront Concert Series, and the Howe Island Rockin' the Rock 2026. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns alongside the Cataraqui Indigenous Market in Confederation Park, as well as Yoga and Battery Park. Music includes Gerald McGrath at Finkel's Shore Park, Smellowship and Midnight Magic Rodeo Show at Hotel Wolf Island, Spencer Evans at Time Out Bar, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, Princess Towers with Efren Strange and Emily Steele at Hotel Wolf Island, and live band karaoke with the Oreos at the Merchant Tap House. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for July 20th through the 26th. For more information on any of these events, visit CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. The events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. Be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.